Hey everyone, welcome. Gio here. This is Geocast 29. And I just want to start off by saying, man, I had the most magical week at Rythmia. Rythmia is a life advancement center. It's an ayahuasca retreat down in Costa Rica. I'm really fortunate that they invite me down there to guest speak, you know, 3-4 times a year. If you're listening, I'd love to connect. So you can just follow me on Instagram, on our YouTube channel, or check out our website, edmundsrhythm.com. I never really say that, but just wanted to invite you guys to connect. If you like these podcasts, and feel free to share them as well. So anyways, today we're going to be talking about fear. Kind of been a theme this last few months. Is like, you know, like every, I feel like I go in cycles. You know, when you're on this kind of path of self-development, self-exploration, it's never like a straight line. Kind of goes in like valleys and peaks, but not so much like linear up and down. It's more like a spiral that goes upwards. And you know, I find that each time you start feeling like you're going on this downward trend, it's an opportunity to transform. You know, it's like, that's how alchemy works. You know, you have to go into the darkness, hit those bottoms, so you can really see what's lying there in the shadows and the fears and the uncomfortableness. And you know, it's funny because sometimes when I'm at the top of those things, it's like, oh, everything is so great right now. Like, there's this little voice that's okay. Like, soon you're going to be ready for a new lesson, new adventure. And so, you know, going to this week at Rythmia, I wasn't really sure what my intention was. So when you go to plant medicine ceremony, it's really important to have an intention. Just be intentional about what you want to work on. And, you know, I was just happy to kind of be there, get out of Ontario, just have a change of scenery, get back to Costa Rica, went back to Nosara, where we were living for a while, got to connect with some friends, hit the beach. It was so nice. And I really noticed that, you know, my nervous system really kind of relaxes right when we get to Costa Rica. And in Toronto, there's this collective energy, this craziness, hustle and bustle, people are kind of stressed. And I could feel that difference right away. So, you know, we get to Rythmia. And we're getting ready to go into our first night. So the way it works there is there's 4 ceremonies back to back, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. When we arrive, usually on Sunday, I'll lead a breath work for the whole group. This group, there was like 70 people there. And I know what you might be thinking, like a lot of people that haven't been there think, oh, that's too big. You know, how do they do that? Well, we'll say this, they do things a little bit differently at Rythmia. They have this remarkable program that's so curated. And the attention to detail there is like incredible. It's not a cheap place to go. It's probably on the higher end of the expensive side for ayahuasca retreats, but you definitely get what you pay for as far as the value and the service and the safety. We have a medical center and an amazing staff. And a lot of people that I found have have placed judgment because they haven't been there. Most people that have been there can say like, okay, like, you know, I see why. So good. So anyways, I love the place. And so I'll teach Sunday and then I'll teach a class on Monday. We do like a big ice bath with the whole group. And, you know, ice bath is powerful because, you know, it teaches you how to be resilient, how to, you know, breathe in a stressful environment. There's all these physical benefits as well where, you know, it'll help with your circulation, reduce inflammation, release cold shock proteins in the body. But the one thing that's really special about the ice bath is like when you go into that really hard situation and your nervous system starts freaking out a little bit, centering, coming back to the breath, just slowing down your breath, breathing into your belly, sending that signal, hey, I'm okay, I'm safe, everything's gonna be okay. And the body responds. And just slowing down that breath is a great reminder for when you're in an ayahuasca ceremony. Because when things get a little bit intense and crazy, you might feel nauseous or start having visions and can get a little bit intense. It's important to come back to the breath. And we teach people that there. It's like, breathe slowly in through your nose and extend your exhale, double exhalation. It's sending a signal to the body to just relax, slow down, to be calm. And you can use that in a ceremony. You can use that in an ice bath. You can use it anywhere in life. When you feel, you know, life is getting a little bit busy or crazy or intense or stressful, low inhale, low exhale. A few breaths like that will just bring you right back into the present moment. Try to remember that. So we do the ice bath on Monday. It's also a great way to get the group together. People cheering each other on. There's connection. And I find when we're doing these kind of ceremonies, whether it's breath work or ayahuasca, the more the group can connect and gel, the deeper the ceremonies go for some reason, the deeper the healing, the deeper the breath work. So we always start off there. And the one rule that you should always abide by is never check your email before a ceremony. Because there's going to be stuff in there. It's going to come up and it may kind of come into the ceremony. But in this case, I guess it served me. So I guess whatever's supposed to happen will happen. And so I checked this, my email, and this one email stood out. And it was an email from a guy that I've worked with for a long time. We've supported each other. You know, I helped him start his business. He helped me with one of our businesses. And when I read the email, it just felt like a screw you email. It was, you know, we had a little bit of a miscommunication. Some things weren't clear on something that, you know, I had got him to do for me. And, you know, he wanted money and just the numbers didn't make sense. You know, like I'd mentioned, yeah, I wanted to make this right and figure things out. But the number he threw was almost like, hey, man, screw you. This is, I don't want to work with you ever again. And I was questioning, like, did he write this email? Did someone on his team write it? Did he make a mistake? You know, and then he also, like, talked about a lot of things that were important as far as some of the reasoning why, the things I'd take into consideration that were kind of like some building code stuff and some safety things. Some were, like, totally crazy, but I guess, like, it wasn't him that made this up. It was, like, the municipality that I felt were just ridiculous. And other ones just made a lot of sense. So anyways, so I'm going into the ceremony, and I realized in that moment that sometimes when little things happen, like a little bump in the road, a little challenge, my mind goes to worst case scenario. It's like, man, those things that I had to do in this situation to come up to like a code or a safety standard, which is probably like 10 times more than what is required. But I do other things that are not in the code that make it even safer, but those like they don't acknowledge in this specific situation. So now I'm feeling like, oh, now that this is an obstacle, now that the cost is so high, now all these things are like, okay, I'm just gonna scrap the whole project or I don't wanna do this anymore. And I started reflecting on this, like, man, that happened so many times in my life, like in a relationship, a challenge would come up or in a business or with health. And like, you get some sort of bad news. And I start thinking like all the way into the future of like every worst thing that can happen, every worst scenario. It's like, why do I do that sometimes? Why do I not just like, hey, every problem has a solution. What are the solutions here? Let me find all the ways to kind of fix this and make it happen and make it good and make it work. So that was my intention. And I know that when I go into an ayahuasca experience with the intention of going into fear, you never know what's going to come up. You know, you always want to go like love and light and flowers and rainbows and these cosmic euphoric experiences, which are great, but you know, usually the work comes in the darkness and the shadows and the fear. And so I'm in the experience, and all of a sudden I go back to this memory of when I was probably in junior kindergarten. And I remember this other boy was playing with a G.I. Joe, and I would love G.I. Joes as a kid. And I remember I really wanted it. And I never had that one. I hadn't seen it before. And at circle time or their story time, he was sitting right in front of me. I can see the legs hanging out of his pocket. And so like, you know, I just wanted to play with it. So I grabbed it, slowly like wiggled it. And he didn't notice. And slowly I managed to pull it out of his pocket. And here I am playing with it right behind his back. And I ended up putting it in my pocket. And technically I stole his G.I. Joe. I wasn't a good thief. I stole maybe, you know, up until maybe, you know, maybe 12 or 13 years old, maybe four times that I can remember. And every time I got caught. And I remember so vividly the feeling of when I got caught in my body, was that fear of the unknown of what was going to happen to me. I felt it in my chest. I felt it in my belly. And I just knew I was in a lot of trouble. I knew I had to give it back and I was going to be uncomfortable. And I was worried about being judged. I was worried about what the punishment would be. I was worried about all of these things. And I remember when I didn't know what was going to happen, my mind was just like, what could possibly happen? And I started thinking about all these worst case scenarios, because that was kind of like a safety net. At least if I know what's the worst, I can prepare for that. That was a big aha moment for me. And you know, then it brought me to another time where I'd stole a comic book, you know, maybe when I was like 9 or 10, and went to the convenience store down the street, and I didn't have any money. And, you know, I just was looking at them, and I just grabbed them and put them in my bag. And, you know, the convenience store owner was like, "Hey, come over here." And I was like, "Oh, man." So I went, I gave him the comic books back that I stole, walked out with my tail between my legs. But in the moment when he called my name, again, that flash of fear is like, "Oh, my God, I'm caught. What's going to happen?" And then one more time that came up, it was just showing me all these flashes. When I was probably a couple years after that, maybe like 12, I was into fishing. And I had all these fishing lures, and I would go to this store, this big corporate store that was a Canadian Tire. And I would, when I go there, I'd grab a fishing lure, an extra one, throw it in my pocket. And one time my mom dropped me off. She was going to like dry cleaner or something. I walked in, and as I was walking out, there's two guys waiting for me, and I knew it right away. And I just had this fear in my body. They pull me into this back room, and there's a guy, this private investigator, and he's like yelling at me and show me what you got, where did you do, blah, blah, blah. And I had like, you know, $10 for the fishing lures. And, you know, they're like, "Oh, you're going to have a criminal record." And I was just like stricken with fear and like worried my mother was going to kill me and all these things. And so started showing me is like, you know, when something happens and your uncertainty, you know, that uncertainty of punishment or consequence, you know, it's a really strong fear for you. And it really struck me in a way where it showed me that, like, you know, living in integrity, you know, kind of will take that away, you know. But what was more important that it revealed next was how it started showing me in those situations that my story, my feeling of entitlement, whatever reasons I had to steal, started becoming more important than my humanity. You know, that was kind of the words that I would use to kind of translate. And I was like, "Oh my God." And I saw, like, you know, taking from that boy, my want or need to have that toy is more important than him losing his favorite toy. Like, I didn't care about that at all. It didn't even faze me. It was like, "Oh, I want that." And, you know, in the convenience store, like, you know, this guy, this is business. But of course, as an entrepreneur, I know what it's like. You know, I know when people steal from me, how much it upsets me now. And I can see, it was like, yeah, like, you know, this guy's trying to make a living, and I'm this little brat, you know, like, wanting this comic book. And then the Canadian Tire one, it was like, you know, this big corporation. It didn't feel as... there wasn't as much guilt or regret, but it was like, you know, like, look at the potential consequence, you know, about how that would affect your family, how it would affect your mother, you know, how it would affect other people around you, how much it would hurt them. And it said, and the medicine was speaking to me in a way, and it said, you know, never let your story become greater than your humanity. You know, there may be times in your life that you have to take something for survival, to protect someone from someone who has stolen from someone else, you know, and you got to be really clear on what your intention is and your why. If you have to do something that kind of is coming up to that line, you know, but it's very rare. And, you know, you really got to be sure that what you're doing is for the right reasons and not for your own selfish reasons. And that was this huge realization. And the medicine started going a little bit deeper and said, "Hey, you know, what's important here as well is to understand that fear is not like this one time thing. Like, I thought there's gonna be this one memory where it came from. It's very complex. And this is just a lesson for tonight around uncertainty and around integrity. And that, you know, when you do things right and you do things out of integrity, you'll have way less to fear and to worry about. And when something goes wrong, you know, like, you don't have to fear about this worst case scenario, because show me where that came, one of the parts where it came from." And so that was like pretty much night one, you know, it got really clear. And, you know, also I had this like fear about writing this book that I've been thinking about, you know, because it was sharing a lot of things that were very vulnerable. I'm just worried about, you know, these outcomes, like, can this open me up to like all these things, you know, if I share everything, you know, like, what would that expose me to, from judgment, from, you know, anything? And it said, okay, like, you know, just write your book and share it from your heart and don't worry about what the outcome's going to be. So that was kind of just part one on fear. And I felt something shift within me. And it was kind of showing me how, you know, these four nights that I had there, we're going to continue this story a little bit more. There's going to be a little bit more to each one. And that week was the first time I actually was able to drink medicine with Taito Juanito. Taito Juanito is one of the, he's like the head of this Colombian tradition. It was passed down the lineage of elders and Taitas. And because I'm a guest speaker there, when I'm there, we never have our weeks lined up. But for some reason, this week we were both there. And I was just showing, it was just showing me, it's like, hey, like, keep coming back to this intention each night. We're going to show you a little bit more until, you know, Thursday. Maybe something crazy is going to happen. Maybe not. Don't have expectations. And so, you know, it was such a powerful message, an example of diving into that fear and showing me a little bit more about myself. And, you know, I guess I'm going to save what happens the next night, because it's also pretty profound, for the next podcast, which will be next week. So I'll spread this out a little bit. But what I will say is, coming back, I've already felt a shift in this confidence, or this lessening of those fear responses. But I think it takes you to go there to kind of see that and to dive deeper into it. Oh, and one thing I forgot to add, which was when it was bringing the story full circle, coming back to that email, it was showing me how, like, you know, when you do things right out of integrity, you have nothing to worry about, you know. And like in business sometimes, you know, you might want to cut corners or save money or do something that's questionable. And, you know, I'm sure every entrepreneur has been there in the past where they faced a hard decision. You know, it's like, you know, pay my bills or do this, or, you know, like, save some money or whatever. And I've seen myself there in the past and doing things that had to get done again, you know, or something that wasn't safe that I was just like worrying about. And I've changed that a lot, you know, from my early years as an entrepreneur to recent times, where it's like, no, like, you have to be unequivocal when it comes to safety, when it comes to customer service, when it comes to product quality, because anytime you cut a corner, it's going to come back to get you. But when you know that you're doing things right, you have nothing to worry about, because there's no uncertainty that's going to come back and bite you in the butt. And it's the same with relationships, the same with how you show up with your friends. So the more you can be in integrity, the more you can be authentic, the more you can be transparent, the more you can communicate clearly, you'll have less to worry about. Because sometimes there's this like shadow in the back of your mind. It's like, you know, because of getting in trouble before, it's like, oh, did I do something wrong? Did I forget something? Did I miss something? And I said, no, just remind yourself, you know, you're walking this line of integrity. You're not who you were 10, 15 years ago. So just stay strong and hold that kind of vision, the vision of yourself and that truth that's in your heart, that, hey, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing my best. It's okay to make mistakes, but it's not okay to intentionally do things that are not in integrity. And so that was this huge realization. I was like, okay, like, I know exactly what to do and I know how to do it, and to not waver from that. So yeah, I wanted to bring that full circle. I totally forgot to bring that. And then, you know, maybe you can check your email before ceremony, because whatever comes up, usually it's something that you need. If it's going to trigger you or bring something up emotionally for you, that means there's something there that needs to be worked on or addressed. Okay, so we're going to get deeper into night two in the next podcast. So if this resonates with you, if you're similar, I would love to hear from you. Send me a message on Instagram at Elemental Geo or at Elemental Rhythm. And yeah, thank you for listening, and we'll chat soon.